This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for worshiping with us today and invite you to join us every week for Sunday worship on this station.
How can a young man keep his way pure? That's a question that is raised in the scriptures, and we're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to set aside some time and listen to what your word is asking us and pleading with us to think just a bit more deeply into where God fits in our life and who is guiding and directing us in the decisions that we do make. So come, Lord Jesus, and be our counselor, for we realize that that counsel lasts both now and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dearest Jesus, draw thou near me. Let thy spirit dwell with mine. Open now my ear to hear thee. Take my heart and seal it.
Friends in Christ, let me read for you a few words from the 119th Psalm. I begin with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your words in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees, With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. The question then is raised, how can a young man keep his way pure? I'd like to broaden this just a bit and say that this could just as well be spoken for a woman as for a man. It can be spoken concerning a person of any age, be he a teenager or be he a person well into his old age. It can be spoken to the educated and the uneducated. It can be spoken to those who are churched and those who are unchurched. And believe it or not, many people are asking that question. They might not ask you or me, but they are asking that question. And once in a while, someone will talk to you about it. For example, it was after Christmas one year that I visited with a friend and asked him if he had had a nice Christmas. And he replied, yes and no. We did have a good Christmas. We went to church. We had a wonderful meal. We had gifts and all the rest. But we had my wife's entire family with us. Our house is large and there was plenty of room for all. But within that family, there are two people who haven't spoken to one another for many, many a month. Something got said that was taken seriously, and they just decided that this is the way they were going to handle their relationship. They would disown one another, discard one another. But now it was Christmas, and they both wanted to come to the family gathering because of their children, and they came. But there was a tension there that really disturbed our whole Christmas day. So yes, we had a good Christmas, but there was really a real problem in between those two ladies. I know I used to sit in my office and people would come in occasionally and they would ask, can you help me? And I'd say, well, what's on your mind? Well, I am extremely dissatisfied with my lifestyle. I really don't like the way that I am. The average person on the street would never think that that man was asking a question like that. But I said, tell me about it. Well, he went on to tell me all of his shortcomings and all of the difficulties that he was having in his work and so forth and so on. And he said, I wish there was someone who could help me with these problems. And so I come to you. It was at that time that I said to him, let's take a look at the 129th Psalm. And we began the 119th Psalm. How can a man keep his way pure? By living according to your word, it says. And he goes on and said, well, I know the word of God. I know the gospel. I know that Jesus died for my sins. I know the Ten Commandments. I know Jesus' admonition that we should love one another, even as he has loved us. But he said, I can't seem to get it done. But if you go farther into this psalm, you see that the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Now, what did that mean that he had hidden the God's word in his heart? The word had been taken from his head and brought down to his heart, and was motivating him to live according to what that message said, what Jesus Christ said to him in that word. And so he seemed to have an eternal counselor with him all the time. And the man said, "That's what I need. I guess I need to have that word hidden in my heart. And it needs to go with me every hour of the day." How true he is. And I said, "Well, I think you have the answer to your problem." But he said, "I can't do it. How do I get that word into my heart?" And then I was able to say to him, "The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it into your heart. And if you will just keep living in that word, if you will just take that Gospel of John and read it and read it and read it some more, and other parts of the scriptures too, pretty soon I think you're going to begin to breathe and think some of these things, and that means that the Holy Spirit is being successful in calling that word into the heart." Donald Williams has put it this way: "The word works to bring us into the will of God." And soon I have that eternal counselor with me. And when I'm about to do something that is contrary to the will of God and harmful for people and self and everyone else, there is that little small voice, the voice of Jesus Christ from the heart, saying to us, "Don't do that. Stop it." And then once in a while, we'll cast it aside and say, "Lord, I know you're speaking to me, but I just have to do this. This is the weakness of the flesh." Peter had that same weakness. When Jesus was asking him to stand with him, and Peter turned around and said to those who were questioning him on the night that he was betrayed, "I never knew the man." Christ was in his heart. But at the same time, he knew that he could also be crucified. And so he went out and cried bitterly when it was all over, for he had discounted that voice that was his eternal counselor. But then it was the Lord Jesus who came back some few days later and said, "Peter, I forgive you. Go about your work now and tell the nations that I have come to die for the sins of the world." What is happening? That is, the word of God moved into the inner parts of your heart, and it becomes that eternal counselor for you. That's what God wants to be in our life. What is happening? You have entered then into a personal relationship with Christ. Christ is assuring you many times during the day of the forgiveness of your sins. Christ is giving you a new set of values many times during the day, which are very important. When you think something is so dreadfully important, and he finally says, "After all, there are other things that are more important than these things." When you're apt to pursue a conversation that would lead into a drilling argument, Jesus would say, "What does it matter?" When you have opinions of people bothering you all the time, he said to you, "That's a very small thing," so that you could say with St. Paul, "It's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I don't even judge myself. That's the counsel of the Holy Spirit." "Yeah, I guess I'm concerned about your counsel." "Yes, but in comparison with the counsel, with the judgment of God, no. If I have to be judged by you or by God, certainly I will take God's judgment, and I'll be concerned about how I live my life in this particular situation." Live with God in your heart. That's our message today. Now, I know that this can be a little bit abstract, and so I want to try to bring it into the concrete if I can. And I'm going to do that by demonstrating with the parable of our Lord Jesus, the prodigal son, and how that worked in that family's life. There was this man, according to Luke, as it is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, who had two sons and a wife, and I guess they had a very happy family. Now I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit to make it just a little more understandable. The boys grew up, and they evidently worked on the farm, and one of them finally said, Dad, I've come to the conclusion that I don't want to be a farmer. So give me my share of the inheritance, and I'm going to go to town. I'm going to find something to do there. But the father probably tried to persuade him differently, that they could all stay home and be one happy crowd. But the younger son was not going to have anything to do with that. So he got his share of the inheritance, and off he went. Supposedly, I think, to find a job and to become a city slicker, and perhaps even to go to school or make something out of himself that way. It wasn't the worst idea. But he didn't get very far. And the Bible tells us that he began to squander his money. And he had a lot of high living, and he bought the drinks at the bar, and he took care of other things that were necessary and costly, until finally he didn't have any money left. And then there was a terrible, terrible fast, a famine, that came into that section. And he didn't have anything to eat. And so he finally went to a farmer and said, could I hire on? I've a lot of experience on the farm. And the farmer said, sure, I'll be glad to hire you. And your pay will be, you can go down and eat with the swine. Well, that wasn't very tasteful, but it was better than nothing. So there he went. And one day in the pig pen, he came to himself. And he said, what a terrible mistake I have made. Now notice right here, somewhere in that home where he was raised, he had learned honor your father and your mother. Somewhere in that home he had learned don't go out and live that type of a life that will ultimately destroy you. But he had cast it aside. What in the world was I thinking of? The Holy Spirit has moved that word from the head to the heart. But he also knows that his father was a forgiving man. He didn't want to take advantage of his father, but he said, I'll go home. And I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I am not worthy to be called your son, but will you give me a job? Just a job. Don't consider me a son. And so he started on the way, but the father found out that the boy was on his way home, and so when he heard about it, he got the fattest pig or beef slaughtered, and they were going to have a party and a fine robe, and he ran out and he met that son, and he said, my son who is dead is alive. He was lost and is found. And the father would not listen that the boy could not come home and be a part of the family again. You see, the Holy Spirit had worked in the father, who at times had probably been very angry when he heard reports of his son and thought, the dumb kid, why did he do it? I can't have him around here. No. Suddenly the father was acting like the Savior himself, saying, come home, I want you. That was a counsel that he got in his heart from the Word of God. And so he went in and they had a great party and he became a part of the family. But everything wasn't over in that family. When the party was really going on, the boy came in from a hard day's work in the field, and he said, what's happened here? We're having a big feast. We've killed the fattened calf. and somebody said, your brother has come home, and your father is rejoicing that he's back home. And so he's gathered all the neighbors, and they're having a great time. Go on in. And the older son said, not on your life. That son got his share of the inheritance, and he went away and wasted it. And now he comes home, and my old man takes him in. I'll have no part in it. And finally the father came out to him. And he said to his father, you never even gave me a goat that I could have a dinner with my friends. And here this no good son of yours, you've killed the fatted calf. And then the father said these words, and let me read them to you. My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because of your brother, who was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost and is found again. And Jesus never finished, at least as far as we know from the scriptures, the parable. But I like to believe that somehow or other the Holy Spirit had moved that word into the inner parts of his heart. And that day, a family was restored. For now they were living according to the word of God. Not only the word of God that they had heard with their ears, but a word of God that lived in their hearts. Friend, that is the way that God wants us to live. This blessed word that has not only law, but has gospel, can live within us, and it can be our counselor every day. Will we fall? Sure we will. What will God do? He'll pick us up. That's the gospel. If we will come in repentance, he will forgive us and restore us into the kingdom of God again. How will that get into our hearts? Is this just theory? No, it is not. Hundreds and hundreds of lives have been changed because that gospel came into the heart. So I can tell you, and I speak now for many people, if you'll just live with that word, if you will hear it preached faithfully, then it will begin to move down. And when that becomes the motivating counselor in your being, you will be a great man of God. God's word in our heart brings us to the foot of the cross for forgiveness and brings us to the empty tomb for a loving, living Lord who has promised, I will go with you, guide you, direct you, forgive you, sustain you. What a Savior! What a Savior! Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we sing, O Master, let me walk with thee. Yes, we pray that you will be the one who leads us, that you will literally take us by the hand and show us what's good for us and what's not good for us, and that you will beckon us with loving arms to come home as did the prodigal, to receive the forgiveness and restoration into the family of God, day in and day out. O God, grant that we may understand that with all the counseling that we get from all different parts of life, that our primary counselor is Jesus Christ, speaking to us in that eternal word. Bless and be with those who are sick. If it be your will, lay your healing hand upon them and sustain them with your grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message will provide a strong foundation for you in the coming week. A number of devoted listeners have chosen to include Christian Crusaders in their estate planning. In this way, these donors have a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To learn more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming program, which you can receive via email. To receive this e-newsletter, please call us or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. You can also join our mailing list to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader, which contains a special article written by our speakers, Reverend Larson and Reverend Kramer, as well as news about our ministry. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 50 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of broadcasting biblical truth.